Our story is about the great sage Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, who compiled the Mishnah. We know we had Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaalpeh. We had oral law dating back to the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. When the Torah was given, it was given the written law together with the oral law. But the one who put together the academy and put together all the great rabbis and set it down in writing as one version that we all study from as Mishnah, that was Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. He didn't compose the Mishnah, he compiled it. And Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was from the family of the Nasiim, the leaders of Israel. The Nasi is the leader who is instead of Moshe Rabbeinu. Today we don't have Moshe. Today we also don't have a Nasi. The Nasiim came from the house of David. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi came from the Davidic dynasty. It went through a daughter along the lines, but Rabbi Yehuda Anasi came from the Davidic dynasty. And Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was born to this exceptional family of the Nasiim, to the family of Hillel. And when he was born, it was a period after the destruction of the Second Temple. It was a period that the Romans were ruling over Israel, and the Romans had decreed that no one may circumcise their children. His father, the chief rabbi of Israel, circumcised him when he was 8 days old. And the Romans, upon hearing that the son of the chief rabbi was circumcised, so they wanted to take him to punish him in Rome, possibly execute the child and his mother. Now, back in those days, the Jews had to hide the fact that they were doing a circumcision. They would have signs. If in the middle of the day you saw candles lit outside, that was a sign that there was a circumcision going on in that house. They had all kinds of signs that the Talmud discusses that they'd make to show the celebration that they're having a circumcision. And here they were caught, and the Romans took Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, this little baby Yehuda, with his mother, to be taken to be judged in Rome. And en route they stop at an inn, and there's a woman there, a Roman woman, who also just had a baby. And the Roman woman hears what's going on, so she whispers to the Jewish woman, to Rabbi Yehuda's mother, she says, "Let's switch babies. The Romans will never know. They'll take him to court, you'll open his diaper, they'll look inside, they'll see an uncircumcised baby, and when you come back, we'll switch back." And this was a great act of piety that this woman did, because she couldn't know if for sure they'd get away with it. The Romans might decide they're killing the baby anyways. But it was logical that she was going to save both babies. She was going to save this Jewish baby by doing that. And so this woman gave her baby over, and the babies were switched. And little Yehuda remained in the Roman home. And the baby, otherwise known as Antoninus, went with the mother to Rome. The judges look at the baby, they see he's uncircumcised, they send her back home. On her way back, they switch babies back. And then these two children grow. And as the children grow up, they each excel. Rabbi Yehuda becomes the leader of the Jewish people, and Antoninus becomes the Roman king. And from the time they're little, they know this story, and therefore they have a unique bond, Rebbe and Antoninus. And they were best friends. Antoninus held Rebbe to be his best friend. And Antoninus would take counsel with Rabbi Yehuda, and he'd ask him for advice. And Antoninus once came to visit Rebbe, and it was Shabbos. So Antoninus had come to take Rebbe's counsel, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi's counsel, and Rebbe invites him to join him for the Shabbos meal. So they sit down, and they eat. And Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was very wealthy, so they have all these delicious food. They have challah, they have fish, they have meat, they have all the delicious food of Shabbos. But the only problem is that by the time Antoninus came to Rebbe's home, it was Shabbos afternoon, And in those days, they didn't have electricity. They didn't have hot food on Shabbos afternoon. So Rebbe is honoring the king with cold meat and cold fish and cold challahs. And that's not the food that a king is accustomed to eat. Now, Antoninus eats, and Rebbe doesn't know if Antoninus is going to like the food or not. Antoninus doesn't complain, quite the contrary. Everything that came, he asked for a second portion. So Antoninus is eating away, and he turns to Rebbe and says, "What delicious foods you have! My cooks don't know how to cook as well as your cooks. I want to eat by you on a weekday too." He figures on a weekday he'll get hot food. If this is how it tastes cold. So again, Antoninus comes on a weekday, and they bring out all the food is hot, and Antoninus tastes. Okay, tastes from the next dish. Okay, says not bad. But you know, the cold food I ate by you on Shabbos was better than this. So Rebbe says, today we're missing one ingredient. Without that ingredient, they can't be as delicious as they were last time. So Antonina says, why? I don't understand. What spice are you missing? Even if it was expensive, I would have paid you back. You knew I was coming for the meal. Yeah, what do you mean? So Rebbe smiled and said, this is a spice that you cannot buy with money. The name of this spice is Shabbos. Hashem gave us a special blessing that the food for Shabbos is more delicious than the food for the rest of the week. Tell me, Your Majesty, do you have that spice in your storage house? So the king had to concede that he did not. And we learn from this story that there is a special blessing. The food that we eat on Shabbos has a special blessing. It tastes different than the food during the week. And that's the lesson that Antoninus learned as well. In the end, Antoninus became Jewish. Antoninus became a ger, but he had to keep it in hiding, because he didn't think the Roman Senate would approve. So for a long period, Antoninus came in hiding to learn about Judaism from Rebbe. And at the very end, Antoninus became a ger. The Gemara quotes that when Antoninus would take Rebbe's counsel, they would talk in code, because Antoninus didn't want everyone to know that he was taking Rebbe's counsel or what the questions were. So the Gemara brings all kinds of interesting codes that they have. Antoninus had questions what to do with his children, what to do with his servants, what to do with his government. He'd always take counsel with Rebbe.